So let's go to the potter's house. It is going to be a particular challenge for me because I can't chew gum and walk at the same time. So we'll see if I can preach and make a pot at the same time. Now, my job is to make you look like I know what I'm doing, but let me assure you I don't. I've just taken crash courses to try to learn this, and I have to say it surprised me. Because when I started this whole pottery thing and was thinking, well, I could try this fancy thing, I could try this, it never worked quite the way I wanted. But it did surprise me in almost the spiritual experience of pottery that there is a real connection that I'm somewhat nervous about today that I'm not sure I can replicate with you all watching. But I want to try because there are so many phrases like in God's hands, the potter's creating me, that change us, and yet I'm not sure we always get the idea. So I hope sound works. I hope you can see somewhat. And most of all, I hope that God does what he did earlier. So it starts, as I said in the beginning, with Adam. This is the primordial stuff that we're made of. This is the animal part of us. And this is what God takes to the wheel. But what surprised me in the beginning, before the Adam, before the potter, and in Hebrew, the potter is actually the one who forms. So you have to love that image, that we are the work of his hands. But the key is water. The potter's hands have to be wet. The wheel has to be wet. And the clay has to be wet. It is the water that's the medium whereby we interact, where the clay interacts with God. Now think about that for a minute. The water is the medium by which God touches the clay, and the clay interacts with God. As Christians, we usually get that water image. It's through our baptism. But in the Old Testament, they would take it one step deeper. I think is great for us. Water, living water, is the physical image they gave to a spirit, specifically the Holy Spirit, the movement of God. If there's living water as opposed to dead water is cistern water, ditch water, water that you let collect. But that fresh, clean rain that we've had the last couple of days, the water that comes out of a fresh spring, that's living water. And that's the place in which the clay and the potter first interact. So, I get a little more water. And let me say, don't you enjoy my very authentic Iron Age potter's wheel? This thing has cruise control. How awesome is that? We actually do find a lot of potter's wheel in Israelite archaeological settings. But it's sort of a counterweight, and they would spin these with their feet, which I'd always love to meet an ancient potter. I imagine they have what, one huge leg over here and then one scrawny little leg. I don't know how they turned it as long as they did, but we'll just go with cruise control. So the potter decides to shape us, and the first thing he's got to do is smack us down on the potter's wheel, which I'm not the best at, so we'll just try to smack me down. And there, this is pretty good. So, a little more water for both my hands and the wheel. And the first thing that's got to happen is the clay has to be centered. The wheel will spin, and there's this constant pull for the clay to go in your direction, to expand and explode. The clay, as it's lumped down, is not balanced. It's going to tear itself apart. The water ends up becoming so much more important than we realize. If the clay gets dry, if there's not that connection with the potter's hands, it'll tear apart. In so many ways, I think this is life. God puts us on the wheel. It begins to spin. We face our days. And in a sense, the clock is ticking. There's only so long the potter can work with the clay before it just won't work anymore. So there is a sense of rush, on the part of God's work. He's got to get this done in us. But if we don't stay wet, if there's no spirit within us connecting us, then we're just going to fly apart. The days are going to tear us apart. First thing he's got to do is get us centered so that we can survive on the wheel. So let me try this. This is usually where I throw clay, so sorry. And I should say, before I really launch into this, the biggest mistake, my instructor, and I should mention her, we have a picture. She is the clay cowgirl of Midland. Kid you not, how's that for a cool name? I had no idea potters had this really cool little culture. Her name is Sean Wellen, and I think we have a photo of her, do we? The next photo, maybe? Anyway, I do owe her a huge debt of gratitude. She took me in and tried to teach me how not to embarrass myself. Give her a little plug if you ever want to experience this, or she takes kids through it quite often. She makes custom work. Clay Cowgirl. Look her up on Facebook. Be good. So let me try to center us. And she warned me in the beginning what I was doing wrong is I was doing it like this. The image of the potter is that he has to actually get right down here with us. So it is almost like you putting your whole body on top of it. And then the clay begins to work, and you begin to work with the clay, and you need more spirit, and you continue to work. And this is the part to me that it's almost spiritual. The clay is going a direction, and I'm trying to force it another direction. And it's hard. We're fighting each other. I have been here in my life. Have you? We say, I'm in God's hands. Isn't it good? It's hard. The clay wants to do what it wants to do, and you want to do what it needs to do in order to become something. This is hard, hard. But slowly, you begin to move in the same direction, and it gets easier. Your hands begin to shape what the bowl is becoming. And wow, aren't you impressed? Well, I don't know what it is, but it's more balanced, it's more center. There is almost this symbiotic kind of thing that goes on. You've got to work with the clay's got to work with you. But please understand the image that Jeremiah is going to be seeing in all of this. The Creator is getting what all over himself? Adam, all over himself. It's impossible to stay clean when you do this stuff. So who we are as people gets all over God. It's messy. It's this interaction. I wonder if this wasn't a little bit of a foretaste of what Jesus would be. For Jesus is the potter covered in the clay coming to speak with us. So hopefully, we're somewhat balanced here. Let me try to clean us up a little bit. And it is the potter covering the clay, just giving it everything you can to get it just to survive the wheel, just to be balanced and not tear itself apart. Now, too many times, I think this is where we stop in our spiritual walk. Okay, I'm balanced. I sort of look like something. Isn't that good, God? Let's stop. But remember, God's got a limited amount of time that he can work with us. He's got to be able to shape us, form us, and prepare us for something. What are we really made for? It's one thing to say in a sermon, to say when you preach, but it's very different to be working with the clay and look at it and know what it's supposed to be. In Genesis, when it talks about we're created, in Hebrew it actually says we're pinched off, which is the strangest thing if you ever imagined it. We're squeezed out. But what they're talking about is this. We are formed like on a potter's wheel. We are squeezed out when we're formed by God. What we're made for is to be a vessel for God. So once we're balanced, once our soul is being able to survive in this world, once we have enough spirit moving on us, God begins the second part, which is the welling out. This is the part that you saw in the video, and I'm glad you did, because I'm about ready to throw mud on you. But the potter has to take usually two fingers and begin to push down. And I can't imagine how hard this is on the clay, but its insides are being torn out. But this is what makes the vessel. This is what opens us up for what we are meant to be. Now, invariably, when we do this, some pieces are lost, and the balance goes completely out the window because you forced out the center. And so God has to go back, hopefully get the excess of us off the table, try to balance us again. And this is fighting. Isn't it beautiful? Wouldn't anybody like an ashtray for Christmas? So the clay cowgirl, you know, can make these giant fluted things with wings, and I've got an ashtray. But it's my ashtray, and I love it. But as much as we hate it, I know God goes back. He's got us balanced again, and then he pushes down and opens us up again to make room inside of us for the Holy Spirit, to hold him. There are so many things that we want to fill ourselves with. We want to be that lump of clay. We're more solid. We're more dependable when we're just a big lump. But that's in no way what we're made for. We have to be drilled out, pushed down in order to hold God, to be that vessel where the Holy Spirit can live. Now, I don't know how well, can you all sort of see this? So I've got a nice, cool edge there, and then this horrible gap over here where I broke it. Sorry. The image that the potter was trying to convey is, or that Jeremiah saw the potter do, you reach a point with your clay and you think, this is a mess. This is just a mess. So I'm just going to rip it off and throw it away and just go get some more clay. Because there's only so much you can do to the clay before it's worthless. It won't do what you want. So it's easy to say that the time is up. But what Jeremiah needed to see from God is that God does not do that. He doesn't scoop us off and throw us away. He says there are points when we're messed up, sure. And he has to take us and mold us back again. He has to put the water back into us. But he'll bring that clay back to the wheel and he'll try again and again and again. I wish all of you could enjoy the tactile sense of this. Just the feel of the clay fighting, of the clay molding, of the clay being forced to open up. Because I know I have felt this on the opposite side. There have been moments when God begins to push his fingers down and push things out of the center of my life that frankly I love, I enjoy. I'm sure all of you saw your email this week. Our church is going to go through an incredible transition, and in March of all times, this feels like God pushing down on the fingers. God, I just got things the way I like it. Things are predictable and understandable. The wheel is not hurting anymore. Why do you have to change it? Why do you have to continue to make me feel empty on the inside? There is a very old prayer for the hole in my soul. And for the longest time, I didn't understand that. A hole in your soul sounds like a sin, something that you've done wrong. But the truth is, if you are who God wants you to be, there's going to be something missing in your life. There is supposed to be a hole in your soul. That hole is to be filled with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. But that's hard, and it takes a long time. There are so many better things to fill our souls with. Electronics, distraction, hobbies, friends, addictions. Things that fill us up so that it feels right again. And then God comes along and pushes it back out. So today I think I'm done playing in the mud, although please never forget what God's hands look like, covered in our messes. Today we're going to continue our service with taking communion, trying to receive in us what we are meant to hold. Now, I don't know what your soul looks like. God's been working on it. But I know it has a well. It has a hole that you are meant to be filled with something. The first lesson I hope we walk out of here with is a water check. How moist are you? We do all these things like prayer, meeting in small groups, studying scripture, examining our heart, not for an end in of itself, but to provide that medium whereby God interacts with us. So today, if you're dry and you can't remember the last time you really talked to God, that's going to make it hard for that spirit to slip right in. We're going to have bowls of water just to do what the potters do. They will be clean water, not this water. So you can stick your fake fingers in for a second. Do a real reality check, if you would. How wet are you? When the potter puts his hands, if you're not wet, it's going to hurt. There's going to be friction. It's going to burn. Then we'll receive the elements. Then we'll receive the Spirit within us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a far bigger event than we oftentimes give it credit for. This is a test run for eternity. Can the Spirit live within you? God is going to prepare the body. He's going to prepare the vessel. He will take us through the fire, which is usually death, and then he'll bring it on the other side complete. The potter will get it done. But what the clay has to decide, is it going to actually hold what God puts within it? It's hard to live with Christ within you, truly. A lot of times we just dump him into, well, he takes care of my sins. He makes me feel not alone. Those are things that we are making, in a sense, him do for us. They're the things that we get out of it. There is to be a covenant, literally in Hebrew, a marriage, a joining together of wills to serve God. There is an amazing attachment, I think, just in my own silly way, that I make with my great pots. I'm going to open a museum right over there, Kurt's Pots. But you get close to these guys after you work for a while. How much more does God bond with us? Really care about? Remember that squishy little ashtray you made with a bad side? I love that squishy ashtray with a bad side. That's you. But as much as he cares, as much as he longs, we're the ones that have to hold him within us. That's our choice. Let us pray. Father our God, we give you thanks that we might come to a different place today. We might be reminded that we do live in a world of distraction, a world that is so often just of our mind. It's not of our body anymore. We simply live in a fantasy of our own creation. Help us this day, O Lord, to feel you, to feel your hands around us, not just to hold us, but to shape us. Help us to feel the turning of the wheel and to know that time is important. We can't stay in this life forever. There will become a time when it just doesn't do any good to mold us anymore. Help us to fit your hands, to be able to know balance between work and leisure, between joy and hard work, between striving and being. Most of all, Lord, we welcome you to hollow us out, to strip out of us all those things that we put in there that we think we can't live without. The truth is, you're the only thing we can't live without. Help us as we receive communion today to check our moist levels, to see how wet we really are. But may we also be ready to be filled by you today, tomorrow, and certainly for all eternity. In Christ's holy name, we all pray. Amen. All right, to your joy, I'm going to invite Melissa to come forward. I'll go ahead and bless elements. That'd be good, right? And we're going to move towards the time of communion. Luckily, I didn't make a mess on communion. But just like the potter's wheel, God takes very simple things and tries to teach us very big truths. Because Paul warns us, we don't know what we are. We don't know how powerful we really are. The psalmist says we are little less than angels, and we become just less than God. Beings that can choose love, beings that can carry God, are unheard of in the universe. But we have a choice. That choice to either become the vessels of God or to cast it out and become some kind of monstrosity. We have made more mistakes than we've done right. That's not just as people, but I think as individuals. We've done more wrong than we've done right. There is the time then when God should just scoop this off and throw it away. But he doesn't do it. Today is that day where he comes back again and says, I will mold you again. I will shape you again. And I will fill you again. So let us let that happen. Jesus gathered together with his disciples, those that he had invested in the most in his life. Amongst them were beloved like John, boneheads like Peter, and traitors like Judas. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, Jesus celebrated communion with Judas in mind. He made sure that Judas knew that night, one of you is going to betray me. One of you in this room. One of you eating with me. One of you who's to the left of me. Judas. And then he says, it would be better for you to never have been born than to go down this way. When we get on the wheel and we start to spin and it's going to go off, God stops and warns us. This is not the way you want to go. You cannot live your life without God in you. The hole will destroy you. You'll go to any possible imagination, contortion, addiction, strangeness to get filled. And all along, it can only be Christ. It can only be God. Jesus trying to say that to Judas, trying to say to us today. Jesus took bread. It was bread without yeast. It was matzah. And he said, this is my life. This is my lechem. It is broken for you. I will die for your sins to be forgiven. I will die to fill you up. I'm sure the disciples were shocked because Jesus broke with the protocol. He broke with the liturgy, but he wasn't done there. They all shared the same cup, and the cup would be filled a number of times during the meal. The third time it was filled, it was to be the cup of redemption. This is the time in which Israel becomes the finished pot that God intended. It is the vessel that holds God. Jesus changed it that day. He said, this is the cup of a new covenant. My blood, my soul, my living water, if you will, that is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. And so today, just as Jesus sat at the table with the disciples, he sits in here with us and invites you to receive that which you were always meant to hold. God's still going to continue to shape. We're still going to have to be balanced. We're still going to have to be welled out, pushed down. But this day, he would be with you. This day, he would be your God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord our God, we do humbly ask that you pour your spirit upon these elements, and more than that, that we receive these elements. Lord God, we are creatures of habit, and it is easy in this habit to miss the incredible power of this moment. Lord God, we confess to you that we have wandered in many places. We have looked for many answers. We've looked for many things to make us feel like we should, to give us a sense of purpose, of happiness and joy. But none of them satisfy like you. So help us now to moisten ourselves, to feel your hands, and to receive you within us. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me invite those that are going to serve with us to come forward.